Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:05 on the clock, got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning, good morning.
And we have Beth Habacker with us.
Good morning.
Happy December 19th, everybody. Hope it is treating you good. We got a lot of fun things this hour. We're going to get into some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. All of that coming up for you and looking forward to every bit of it. But right now, the kitchen's open.
All right, it's Monday, December 19th, and we are approaching Christmas, and some of the best things about the holidays are food and kids.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more joyful than having your family gathered around the holiday table sharing a meal together, and the excitement of children at holidays is contagious and exhausting,
mm-hmm.
but also wonderful. The unmitigated joy and anticipation is a delight to see and to take a role in during the holidays. So my mom loved nothing more than to get her grandkids involved in the kitchen when they would come to visit her, and I have so many fond memories myself of helping her decorate cookies and learning how to bake. So let's talk about fun and easy ways to get the kids excited about the kitchen and making holiday magic and memories with family.
There is just something special about making cookies together as a family. I mean, we all think mm-hmm. about rolling out the sugar dough and getting the cutters out and making the different
picking
shapes.
Picking your favorite cookie cutter.
Yes. And, you know, deciding, are you going to stick with it? And then with the little baubles, you figure out your way around them. So it's always mm-hmm. fun to make cookies. But there are more cookies you can make than just those cut out sugar cookies. How about polar bear Oreos? They are a fun and wonderful idea. The best part of this is you get to eat all the red, brown, and green M&Ms while you're doing the project. So you
nice.
Get to eat while you're baking. Nothing
and
better
actually,
than that.
And this one is no baking involved.
Exactly.
So you don't even need an oven.
And they still taste just as good. So all mm-hmm. you need for this is a package of double-stuffed Oreos, a box of M&Ms, two bags of Ghirardelli white chocolate melting wafers, and one package of small edible eyes. You'll understand in a little bit. So make sure it's the adult in the group that's melting the chocolate.
Oh, man.
Just safer that way, you know? So you have the adult melt the chocolate wafers, and you'll need to gently take apart the Oreos as well. So the kids might need a little bit of help with that to try to mm-hmm. make sure you keep the circle together as much as possible.
Maybe. Some kids are really expert on getting them apart.
This is true. They could be better than they may need to help the adult.
It's quite possible.
but you want to keep the cream on one half of the cookie if you can. Then mm-hmm. you're going to press two yellow M&Ms into the cream part of the cookie so that half of each of the M&Ms still sticks out of the cookie. Mm-hmm. And those are going to become the ears.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then you put the cookie back together and dip the top half of with the ears into the melted chocolate to try to get them to set in there.
Oh, okay.
And then you place it on parchment-lined a cookie sheet. Once you have enough cookies half done, place them in the refrigerator to harden so that they stay together. Mm-hmm. And then put the whole cookie, once they're hardened, back into the melted chocolate and flip it to cover both sides. Remove it and put it back on that parchment paper. And then place a non-melted white chocolate wafer onto the lower part of the cookie to make the nose. And add a blue M&M onto it with a dot of melted chocolate. You do the same with the two eyes. You use that little bit of that melted chocolate to put the eyes there. And then you let it cool for 30 minutes before eating. And it turns into this really cute polar bear.
Little polar bear cookie that's M&M inside. Or
yep.
It's got M&Ms and then the Oreo inside.
And there's a variation of this as well that you can make little Christmas Mickey Mouses. So
yeah.
Instead of using M&Ms, get a canister of the mini Oreos that match the Oreo that you have. So you can get the vanilla or the chocolate. Chocolate would make it a little bit more like Mickey. And mm-hmm. then you use the melted chocolate to put the two smaller mini Oreos on each side of the larger Oreo. And it becomes a Mickey Mouse head.
Awesome.
And then you can dip the bottom into some white and then color it red. So it's Mickey's shorts.
Cute. Yeah, you could do snowmen with this mm-hmm. by using like little mini chocolate chips for the eyes and the
yeah.
mouth. And what are those orange ones that you can get? Do you remember those that have the orange and the green and the yellow? But you could use those for the nose. They're
oh, yeah.
like coated chocolate chips.
Oh, yeah.
So there's all
like
sorts of fun ways
butterscotch
you could go with
ones
this.
Or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And my grandma made these amazing cookies. Similar idea, but you do it from scratch, but using Ritz crackers, peanut butter, and you spread the peanut butter in between the Ritz crackers, mm-hmm. make a little sandwich, and then you dip those in chocolate.
Ooh, yummy.
And you can do white or the milk chocolate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of fun things that you can do that don't actually require baking.
Right, and they're pretty uncomplicated with just very few ingredients.
Mm-hmm. And fun for the kids to get involved, get a little messy.
Yeah. And you can always lick your fingers. I mean, melted chocolate is not going to make you get food poisoning. So
Right. You don't have to worry about them licking the spoon.
Right.
Another fun idea is Christmas tree waffles.
Ooh.
Now, my mom had the best oatmeal waffles that are super healthy, but you wouldn't even know it.
Okay.
The recipe is literally just oatmeal, water, honey, vanilla, and salt.
Interesting.
But the trick is having a high-power blender that you can blend the batter super smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to get that oatmeal really whipped up really good and fine. So she used a Vitamix blender.
Okay.
But like the Ninja blender or any of those fancy ones now that everybody's making smoothies with.
Yeah. Because you want that pancake consistency.
Right. You want it to be super smooth. But however you make your waffles, you can add fun to Christmas morning or any morning during the holidays with this idea. Add green food coloring to your batter. Because it's going to make your waffles green like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
You do need a whole small container of the food coloring to get it to the right color, and they're kind of like a neon green, but they're still green.
Yeah,
so
and they're still good.
They'll come out that color. No matter what shape of waffle iron you have, you can just cut the waffles into four, line them up like a Christmas tree. The kids can help decorate with green and red sprinkles, and then douse them in syrup. If you want to get fancy, you could add whipped cream in a can for the snow. So I do have this. I found this recipe and I was like, oh man, I remember when I was a kid and I thought it would be the funnest thing in the world to have green milk.
Green milk.
Yep. So this was before I knew I was lactose intolerant, and we had a babysitter. My mom wasn't home, and I think I dumped an entire thing of green food coloring into a glass of milk.
Oh,
because
no.
It wasn't getting green enough, and I just kept adding more and more and more. Pretty soon I had this ridiculous green cup of milk, and then I didn't want to drink it. I got in so much trouble.
Oh, well, yeah. You wasted the food coloring and the milk.
And the babysitter got in trouble, too, because she wasn't paying attention to me.
Aww. But you had fun in the kitchen.
I did. I had fun in the kitchen.
That's
I was unsupervised, but it was still fun.
So we do recommend supervision for the kids in the kitchen. That is number one.
Food coloring, can be a little messy.
It can be.
Like stain things.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, something else that could be fun to make in the kitchen is peppermint creams. So this is a fun recipe and a delicious treat, and kids can be a part of the whole process. All you need is one large egg white, as fresh as it can be, 14 ounces of powdered sugar. Now, there's where your mess may come in, so just be prepared. one drop of lemon juice and a half a teaspoon of peppermint extract. So here's the trick. You whisk the egg until it is frothy but still translucent. You add in the lemon juice and mix again. You sift in the powdered sugar and add in the peppermint extract. Now,
that's where it gets messy.
Yeah. Here's the fun part. You have to mix it until it's too stiff to mix with a spoon.
Okay.
You have to keep going and keep going and keep going. And then you have to knead it with your hands on a lightly powdered sugar dusted surface. Okay, so you get the kids, their hands are a little bit more dexterous than ours are, so they you know, help them get that going.
Work out some energy there.
There you go. And once you have that done, you roll it out to around a 3/4 inch thickness and use a cookie cutter to cut out shapes. You leave it on a baking sheet to harden, and voila, enjoy.
These just melt in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you could probably, if you don't like peppermint, I think you could probably do like almond extract or even just vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could go any way you wanted with this.
Absolutely. It'll be, and it always tastes good.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the really fun things that we like to do around the holidays was to make ornaments.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do this in the kitchen using salt dough.
Really?
Yeah, so this fun recipe takes just 3 ingredients, and you can incorporate a lot of fun and learning in the process. So right. flour, salt, and water is all you need. And it can become hours of fun in the kitchen. So it takes 2 cups of flour, 1 cup of salt, like a whole cup of salt, and 1 cup of water. You mix this together until it becomes a dough like Play-Doh consistency.
Fun.
And then you need to knead this dough for around 5 to 7 minutes until it's smooth and firm. You might okay. have to add water if it becomes too stiff. If it's too sticky, add more flour. So you kind of got to, you know, it depends on your humidity level mm-hmm. in your house. But yeah, so you need to maybe add a little bit more of one of those to get it to the right consistency. So, but you want it to be smooth and firm.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll it out with a rolling pin to about 1/4 inch thick. And you can use cookie cutters to make shapes, or you can just use, you know, your hands to make shapes.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to remember is to make it as close to consistent thickness for each ornament as possible
okay.
so that they bake even.
So you don't want one ornament that's 1/2 inch and another ornament that's 1/4 inch?
Well, within the same ornament.
Okay.
Like you don't want a one flat 1/4 inch
mm-hmm.
part and then a 2 inch thick ball on top of it.
Gotcha.
Because it's not going to bake at the same
mm-hmm.
time. And then don't forget to put a hole in the top for your ornament hanger.
Mm-hmm.
So now once you've got all your creations made, you put them on a foil or a parchment-covered baking sheet, put them in the 250-degree oven, and you want to allow 1/2 hour for each 1/4 inch of thickness. And you want to turn the pieces frequently so they dry out evenly, because basically what you're doing is dehydrating the dough.
Right. Drying it out.
So, mm-hmm. so if you have an area that puffs up, prick it with a toothpick to release the air so that it comes back down. And once the ornaments have cooled completely, you have a fun afternoon of painting them.
There you go.
And then you get to decide where to put them on the tree.
Fun.
Or who you're going to wrap them up and give them to as a gift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So getting kids involved in the kitchen helps them develop an excitement for creating food and gives them an appreciation for what happens in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
My mom always had aprons for all of her little helpers. You could even have a little chef's hat and designate your sous chef. To add into the fun.
Yeah.
Ladies, would you guys say that, especially with the nowadays, it's so more common to check ingredients, to look at the labels, to look at
yes.
things more, that getting kids involved in the kitchen earlier, it can only be beneficial to them, not only understanding their own diet and what works for them, but just like the way of the world, the way it's going kind of forward. It seems almost, I don't want to say vital and mandatory, but it's getting closer and closer to that.
Absolutely.
And learning how to be able to measure things out.
Right.
Basic kitchen skills. You're going to need that. Whatever age you are in your life, it's helpful to know how to cook.
Right. And with the salt dough especially, you learn, okay, if it's sticky, I add a little bit more of the flour. If it's too mm-hmm. rough, then I add a little bit more of the water. And you start to learn it's not just the measurements, but also those little techniques to try to keep things where you want them.
Mm-hmm.
My nanny used to tease me that, Jimmy, you're probably going to be alone, so I'm going to teach you how to cook and those things. And I never got it as a young kid. I didn't understand necessarily what she was joking about, but I got it as an adult and everything. And I'm not kidding with bringing this up, but it is something I think that is important. I think it's you should know how to feed yourself.
Yes.
You should know how to do these things. That it's much more than just making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. I mean, that gets old pretty quick. Being able to cook for yourself is one of the greatest gifts you can give to yourself mm-hmm. and to other people.
Well, mm-hmm. and we're getting past the stereotype that it's only women in the kitchen. You know, I always try to get my two boys in there so that they can, if they're bachelors, cook for themselves, make their own meals. Plus, you know, women like to be cooked for just as right. much as men do. Mm-hmm. So if they know how to do that, especially if they can make baked goods, give me a man that can bake me a cookie.
They say a way to a person's heart there is through go. Their stomach.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've been told one of the more romantic things I can do is make dinner. So
there you go.
I think that's something to keep in mind, everybody. We'll take a break right here, but thank you both so much.
Mm-hmm. It was fun.
That was a great episode. Great, great episode, you two. Really, really look forward to next week's. Be listening. Well, no, not next week's. Next Monday, we're off.
That's we're off
right.
on Monday.
We're off on Monday
are.
Next week. That's
so
right.
So the kitchen will take a week off.
Yes. Yeah. So we'll have a new Kitchens Open next year.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some entertainment news and more fun on The Morning Show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. We hope you're having a great one out there. Going to get into some entertainment news real quick. And Cicely Strong, longtime SNL cast member, put in her last bit this weekend. She was on her last episode. She has left the show. Cicely is somebody I, again, journalistically have to admit I am a gigantic fan of. She is a Chicagoan. She is a Second City alum, and she was the first person that I worked with at Second City that graduated to Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
And so early days as a student and then as a teacher working with her, could not be more giving and caring with her time, and everything you see on TV is only a smidgen of how funny that woman is. I don't think that anybody's really gotten to see the true, like, she was on SNL for 10 years.
Right.
And had some classic characters, some legendary parts, but I still don't think you guys have seen what we've seen at Second City. Like, I really don't. She's so darn good and so funny and just fearless at what she does. And in the industry that we're in, where it's so cutthroat, to run across good people is very rare. She's one of the good ones.
Yeah.
She really is. I wish her the greatness. I hope that she goes on and whatever she wants to do in her career, she does it more. Just one of the more talented people I've ever been around and kinder people I've ever been around.
Aww.
Interesting, though, when it came to her leaving, she, during her monologue, she, you know, not her monologue, but during her one of her bits on Weekend Update, she kind of says why she's leaving. Quote, "It's just my time now. I had a lot of fun here, and I feel lucky that I got to have so many of the best moments of my life in this place with these people that I love so much." Now, that phrase, "it's just my time now," may seem kind of, you know, well, there's not a lot of detail. There's not a lot of meat on that bone and everything. This is the way it goes.
Yeah.
This is, you will, you can go back to almost any cast member on SNL and see this. Eddie Murphy, so many of them. Just, you get to a certain point, and it's not like any Lorne Michaels comes up, "Okay, well, it's time for you to leave." It's not like that. It's, yeah, you know, I it's time. I built up my career. I've got other opportunities coming up. I've got things that are pulling me away from 30 Rock here. It's time. I've got to go. It's almost, it's not as if it's a decision as much as it is a necessity, because there's only so much. The dedication it takes to make Saturday Night Live happen, nobody understands. Unless you've literally done it, none of us do. There's very few things I've studied like I have Saturday Night Live, like I have live theater. And even I got no clue what it's like to actually have to do that, pull that show off. So as one of their head writers, as she is, and so many of the other parts that she has to do with the show, it makes sense. Yeah. I just wish her well.
Yeah.
So darn funny. So darn funny. And it should be noted, too, something Tina Fey said about her. She would put, like, when Roe versus Wade was overturned, when things like that were happening, she was one of these people on Saturday Night Live, not only just bringing attention to these subjects, but doing it in funny ways.
Right.
But not trying to... Okay, I got to be funny first, then I can make my points. It's no. I'm going to make my points, and if you laugh, you laugh. If you don't, I don't care.
Right.
I'm going to get my point. There's something very strong about the way that she wrote and being in that writer's room.
Something strong about the way she did that?
I didn't mean to do that. I really didn't. God, I mean,
what she says about, you know, often we have a sense of when something's been accomplished, something's been done, and it's time to move on to that next thing.
Yeah.
And so we can't begrudge her to say, you know, it's been a great 10-year run. It's been wonderful to see. And the article that I read said that she is the longest tenured female on that show ever.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to wrap on. Yeah, it's a great note to mention again. Yeah,
so that's, I mean, that right there says a lot about her ability.
And stay power isn't always about just being good at what you do, but also people liking to work with you.
Yeah.
And I think that all those factors came into why she is there so long. Look, if you happen to run across James Cameron today, I would just say just keep walking. Don't even make eye contact. He's pouting right now. He's very upset. Aww. And it's all of our faults. James Cameron is mad at all of us because we did not go see Avatar this weekend, and it did not do well enough in the box office. And I'm not kidding you guys. I'm not exaggerating here. Like, he's mad at his own fan base for not going and seeing the movie. One of his comments was, "It came out on Friday. You could have seen it twice."
What?
Who does that?
Snap.
Who does that? Who goes and sees a movie?
Weekend before Christmas. Same, really? Yeah.
Talk about kicking your fan base in the teeth. I mean, who does that? What kind of, like, other than an insult comedian? Like,
yeah.
You know, where you know, like, well, okay, I go to see Don Rickles. I know he's going to insult me. Like, outside of that, I don't know who does this kind of thing. James Cameron's Avatar, The Way of Water, snared a $134 million at the domestic box office during this opening weekend. It was short of the $175 million that the industry analysts had predicted and the $200-plus million that James himself had gone out and said it would easily make. Quote, easily make. And just under the $135 million to $150 million range that Disney had forecasted, which they are not happy about.
Oh, of course.
However, unlike James Cameron, they're not going around and telling everybody that wants to listen this. I don't know what he expected. I would have been happy with these numbers if I was him. The original movie came out like 20 years ago or whatever. Like, what are you thinking here? This is the problem people have when they're not paying attention to this, what Marvel has done.
Mm-hmm.
They think, oh, superhero movies, just anybody can do it. Ask DC how that's going. Ask anybody else who's trying to do this, because they see this some years back. Paramount Pictures was trying to get in on this. They saw what DC and Marvel were doing. Like, okay, well, we got to get in on this, but all the superheroes are taken. Everybody's copywritten. But we own the rights to all the old monsters. The Invisible Man, the Werewolf, the Mummy, all these. We own the. So, we're going to reinvent these characters, and we're going to Marvel it up. We're going to superhero it up. We're going to get Tom Cruise, and we're going to, you know, this is going to be amazing. And bomb, just bomb, devastating bomb. You can still feel the effects of the bomb from that movie and that franchise.
Yeah.
They're still paying Johnny Depp the Invisible Man money. And that movie is never going to be made. And they're still paying him. They're still paying Russell Crowe. Insane to me.
Really?
What they put into these movies, money-wise and time-wise, sometimes I think you got to be happy with what you get.
Yeah.
And just take it for what it is.
Well, slapping your fan base with a, why didn't more of you come out, isn't going to actually make them come out to see it. I would be, if I heard, was planning to go, you know, like didn't go opening weekend, was planning to go, heard that comment, be like, yeah, I'll wait.
Yep.
I'll wait till it's on streaming. I don't need to see it in the theater, and I don't want to give you my money.
And it's not like it did bad. It didn't do horrible
too,
or anything.
Right?
It wasn't a box office flop or anything like that. I know two people that were going to go see it in the new year.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going now.
Yeah.
They told me flat out. Now maybe they'll change their mind between now and then. I don't know. But as far as what they were told me last night, because they're the only people I knew that were going to go see this, and I wanted to know how it was, get their feedback. Like, we didn't see it. We're going to see it next year. And then Sunday, I'm talking to them. They're in class and everything, and like, I'm not seeing that. I don't want to see it. And the other part of this too is that actors don't want to work for a guy like that. Don't want to work with a guy like that that just basically, you know, makes it that much harder to do our job. There are some horror stories that Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio have said about that Titanic filming that no human being should be put through. No human being. A ridiculous level of, if you're not a good enough director to pull out of your... So there was hypothermia on the set because they were in the water for too long. And the water was freezing. James Cameron believed, I need to see... Kate's not blue enough. I need her to be blue. Like, if you're not a good enough director to pull that out of your actor or to find ways around that so your actor's not literally, like, risking her life for a silly movie... Like, what are you doing, man? You're not talented enough to me. Then you need the special effects. You need all that pomp and circumstance because you're not good enough to make a scene happen. So you need blue people coming in and all this stuff and everything, the Avatar stuff and all these things. And you just he just proves his point all the more all the time when he does this kind of stuff, that he's not that creative. I mean, he just isn't. You give him a green screen, that's what he needs to be able to do this stuff and everything. I'm sorry, but you don't insult fans. You just don't do that.
I still haven't seen the first Avatar, and now I really don't want to see either of them.
I have no interest in seeing anything James Cameron does.
It's just bad form.
I've actually never auditioned for anything he's done. To be fair, I've only had my Screen Actors Guild card since 08, and he barely works. So,
okay. Well, there you go.
There's that. We're going to take a break here. We're going to come back after Melissa's news and have some fun. You step back and listen to Mel's news. It's coming up right here on Morning Show at WFHR. Joy to the world. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King.
We hope you're having a great start to your Monday out there. Thanks for kicking it off with us over here at WFHR. Beth, Melissa, and James here with you. And I got a That Ain't Right story I got to dive into now.
Do.
Of course, I have to. This is a little interesting. I wonder what this guy wanted to be when he grew up. Some fool near Denver got into a high-speed chase the other day while driving a tiny smart car painted to look like a little Tykes car. The red one with the yellow roof that every little kid had.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He stole it from a business called Wrap Factory that does full car wraps in different designs. So it's a promotional thing that they used for advertising. He stole it last Friday and got into a police chase a day later. So the car wasn't too hard for them to spot.
Right.
Someone heard the sirens and got a funny video of him speeding down a bike path with the cops right on his tail. They eventually arrested him and recovered the car. So, first up, I have never understood the point, like these people that get in high speed chases.
No.
There are some really, really foolish things in the world. This is one of the biggest ones to me, like top five foolish things you can do. For one, I mean, the police cars are designed for this.
Mm-hmm.
The engines that those things have in them trump your engine every day. They got teammates. They got people,
all connected by radio and cell phones.
This is not an episode of Smokey and the Bandit.
No.
You don't have teammates. It's just you and your stupid brain out there
and you're
doing
not
this.
Just putting yourself at risk. You're putting everybody that's in the world at risk because you're going so fast you cannot react in time if somebody were to walk out, other cars.
My strongest point about this is that, Beth. Yes, yeah. I agree with that. And certainly, the risk that you cause to other officers and these things, certainly. All that being said, if I am this business, I'm not, cringing at this story.
No.
If I'm the Wrap Factory, I've just got the whole nation talking about my business from this fool doing this and everything. So, I mean, if you're looking for a silver lining to the That Ain't Right part of this, one, everybody's okay. Nobody was hurt during this foolish action. And two, Wrap Factory getting some love here.
Free advertising.
Yeah.
It's a stolen car, too. That's the part that this is a double That Ain't Right story. You're stealing a car from a business, and you're taking it on a police chase?
Yep. Yeah. High-speed chase? Mm.
So I'm going to show Beth a little bit of the video here. And I don't know. Again, yes, this is an audio medium. But I wanted you to be able to hear her reactions. It really does look like a little Tykes car.
It does. It really does.
It feels like you don't so much give them a ticket as you have to ground them. You're grounded from this. If you could have your vehicle look like any famous little vehicle or Matchbox car or anything like that, I immediately think of the Batmobile.
Oh.
I think if you could drive around like a... I'm not saying it has literally taken from the movies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a regular car that just has a paint job of a famous vehicle. I think that's probably the first one I think of.
Okay.
The Scooby-Doo mobile.
Yes. Nice. Yes. The mystery van. Yeah.
Herbie the Love Bug's a big one that's out there.
Ooh,
oh, yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Oh, yeah. Nice, in fact, I was at an intersection someplace and was stopped next to a bug that was painted like that. But, I mean, I would want, I think the Ghostbusters... station wagon.
There you go. I like that. I think the General Lee has been a lot.
Yeah.
That's been done quite a bit from the Dukes of Hazzard. That's mm-hmm. certainly been done a lot.
Kit.
I like the idea of Kit, especially if you can get it to have that.
Have that light thing that goes back and forth. Yep.
Yeah. Whatever that. How that made that noise.
We're getting closer and closer to that technology. I mean, we've got smart watches. When is it going to start to communicate with our car? When is our car going to start to talk?
Come on, science.
It's got all this other stuff. We've got screens on there. Come on, talk to me.
Still waiting for my hoverboard, science. Come on. get on it. That isn't that a right story, all right. But I do like the idea that this company got a little bit more notoriety from it. It's advertising's hard.
It almost looked like it was a little like not stop motion, but a little recreated.
Yeah.
Like somebody was videotaping what their child was doing with the car.
I would think that you'd feel pretty ridiculous getting pulled over after a high speed chase if you're lucky to be pulled over and it didn't end in a crash or something like that. I mean, it didn't work, obviously. So you're caught. So you're going to feel cringy and all that from those things as well. But imagine going to prison with some of the hardest hardened human beings on the planet, and you got to go there from a high speed chase.
What you in for?
I was trying to get away in a little tyke's car.
What?
You were doing what?
Huh?
little tyke's car. This isn't going to go well, is it? This is
gonna...
Take a break right here. We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here on WFHR. It is 9:48 on the clock. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you on this Monday. We hope it's treating you good. And a very Sheng Shamak to everybody out there, or Chang Samalach. To you out there, and that means happy holidays in Hebrew.
Oh, very nice.
As we are in the Hanukkah season, everybody, it is blue time, Hanukkah time, everyone.
Yeah, shalom.
Thank you. Hey, shalom to everyone out there. And I do want to actually start off this segment where we usually do good stories of the day and that ain't right stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. With that being a good story of the day, I lost track of how many listeners reach out to me yesterday saying happy Hanukkah.
Aw, very nice.
And I'm guessing, and quite a few of them, if not all of them, were not of the Jewish faith. I'm just even talking about it right now. I'm a little choked up. Like, I was very taken back by that. I did not expect that. And I've gotten that over the last couple of years, but not like this year. This year, I'm not exaggerating. I lost track of how many people either emailed or texted my family and I happy Hanukkah.
The
action doesn't take much, but it means so very much.
Oh yeah,
it always has. It's always meant a lot, but in 2022, it means that much more. And when you see people having menorahs in their windows or those kind of things, it means something more to us too as Jews in 2022. The rise of anti-Semitism is not something that something that's been, talked about in news outlets and around here plenty. Mm-hmm. The ADL counted 2,717 anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. last year, an all-time high and a 34% increase from the previous year. This has not been helped, of course, by the rise of celebrities and other people with anti-Semitic talk and these kind of things. So to my Gentile friends out there and everybody else, you showing your support, there is no words for it.
Mm-hmm.
But to my fellow Jewish people out there who are putting their menorahs in their windows, who are continuing to wear their Star of David's out in the open and not tuck it under their shirt and these things, I am with you. I support you and I thank you. We are not going away.
No.
You're not going to be able to get rid of us or quote unquote or any of these things or anything. And we're not also going to let this stuff just slide by. Mm-hmm. This is not the 50s or the 60s or anything where you're going to take people over, by surprise or anything like that. We're not alone in this. We're not fighting this battle alone. It's not as if it's all of us Jews against all of this or whatever. We got thousands and thousands and thousands of allies who are on the same page as we are, on the right side of history on this.
Yeah.
So to you out there, whether you are a supporter, whether you are Jewish, whether you just like a menorah, you just like candles, thank you. And you are not alone, and keep up the fight. Keep up the great work. And I do all of this because I wanted to talk about the world's largest Lego menorah. That's the only reason I brought up any of this, really. It's none of that. This is pretty cool, though. I think it's awesome. Yep, the world's largest Lego menorah was assembled in Tel Aviv.
Oh, really?
Cool.
The first Lego stores in Israel opened earlier this year, and one is now home to the world's largest Lego menorah.
Wonderful.
Menorahs are lighted each day of Hanukkah, of course, which started this past Sunday at sundown. All Jewish holidays start at sundown. The menorah was built with 1,336 single bricks and is on display at the Lego store in Tel Aviv in their shopping center there.
Awesome. Are they going to put a new flame each night?
I don't know. It looks like it's just like a, what you would expect, like a Lego flame.
Right.
You know?
Right. But are they doing, like, do they have all the flames at one time, or are they lighting them each, like adding one each night of Hanukkah?
It looks like that's what they're doing.
Awesome.
Yes. That's what I was trying to say. yeah. But that's pretty cool. I like that. That's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Nicely done. I would definitely check that. Like, I've never been to a Lego store. I just want to go to a Lego store. Yeah. I just think it'd be fun. Like, that alone.
Have one in Mall of America. It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've never been there to the Mall of America. I've meant to check it out. I just never have.
It's not that far, James.
No, it's not. You're right. Yeah,
so you've got some days coming up, you know?
Yeah. some other good stories of the day, like Rumiyasa Galagari, and I am so sorry if I mispronounce your name. She is the world's tallest living woman. And she recently boarded an airplane from her home country of Turkey to San Francisco, and it was her first time.
Whoa. Wow.
It was Galega's first, and one that highlighted a growing attention to accessibility. Galega is 25. She stands 7 feet 7 inches tall.
Whoa.
And certain people like this cannot really fly.
Right.
So all the people that were working there ended up moving the seats and everything for her so that she could fly.
Good for them.
That's pretty cool. I also thought that something we could do in these moments, and we're going to do this more going forward, because I don't want to put anybody on the spot necessarily, but in our good story of the day, in our last segment of the show as we lead up to the new year, or really till Christmas, I want, favorite holiday memories.
Oh, okay.
I want some of you guys' favorite holiday memories. Like, I remember the year, for some reason, my dad got, like, Easter and Christmas mixed up, and he hid some of our Christmas gifts. He literally hid some of our Christmas gifts. And my mom, I think it was like a year where we didn't let her sleep in because she was working so much at the time. And so my dad was kind of like in charge of starting Christmas, which was just anarchy. It was just everybody's running around grabbing stuff. My sister's opening my gifts. I mean, things like that. And I'm pretty sure if I remember this right, he got Easter, you hide Easter eggs in Easter baskets.
Yes.
And he got it mixed up. He hid a bunch of Christmas.
Oops. That's a fun twist, though. I'm liking that.
It's rough.
Added a little more excitement to Christmas morning. You have to find them first.
Christmas was, rough. We didn't have a lot of stuff. It's even harder when you can't find the few gifts you got. It's a great memory. Not trying to put you guys on the spot. If you want to, bring up something in the next days or two here, that's fine, too. Do you have anything off the top of your head?
I do, actually. The one that comes out for me is the year that my older sister found the Christmas presents before they were wrapped. Brought all of us, so we all thought we knew what we were getting, and then we come down on Christmas morning and nothing's where we thought it would be, or they're all gone because my mom had figured out that we'd found the presents. And I remember getting very upset with my sister because I was like the first Christmas I was supposed to get makeup, and there was no makeup in my stocking. I was very upset with my sister.
That would be disappointing. My mom always made such a huge deal out of Christmas. It was probably her favorite holiday, and she worked really hard she'd make us all presents, especially in the last few years of her life. So one year we all got sweaters, like hand-knitted sweaters that she spent making, all year round. Handmade slippers that were felted. I still have several pairs of them. I repair them on a regular basis as needed because I never want to let them go.
Yeah.
She loved gift giving, and she was probably the best at it that I have ever met.
Gosh, Mel, I can you even just saying it even got me, hearing that. I can't imagine what that must mean. That's really wonderful. I appreciate you sharing that as well, too, because I think it really hits home how important those homemade gifts are, how important those, you know, personally made gifts can be. We think they mean a lot, certainly in the moment, but you hear something like that, and it just all the more reason. Why do we buy anything? Why?
Well, she also put Whoppers in my stocking every year.
Nicely done. Yeah, that was good. That's a great. Thank you so much for sharing that, Melissa. That was awesome. Beth, we also wanted to share something else to the audience out there, because as I mentioned, we know that this time of year, it can also be difficult for some. And you guys this Wednesday have something very unique and special you're hosting over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church.
Yeah, kind of touching on what Melissa was sharing. And she and I both, we no longer have our mothers here with us for Christmas and have some cherished memories. And just because we're older and just because it may have been, you know, several years or it could be recently, there is going to be a bit of grief in this time. And so in touching with the longest night, because December 21st is the day that we have the least amount of sunlight, we have what's called a blue Christmas service. And it's an opportunity to recognize the grief and the challenge that we have even in the midst of the joyous holiday season. So we encourage you to come join us Wednesday evening at 6:30. I believe we are also going to Zoom it and live stream it. So if you would like to join us online virtually, you can do that too. There'll be a link on our website, wrmoravian.org, and it's an opportunity to claim that struggle that you have, to say that, you know, even though this is a hopeful season, I'm missing a loved one or I'm struggling with this issue and I want to claim that. And then having an opportunity in the midst of the service to recognize that by lighting a candle, offering it up, and then hopefully finding the hope to carry with you out of the service. So it's a special service. Again, it's Wednesday evening at 6:30. Anyone and everyone, you don't have to be a Moravian, you don't have to be a Christian. You can just come and have the opportunity to say, this is tough. This is tough. And hopefully hear a word of hope.
Appreciate you and the team over there hosting this and doing this. And again, Blue Christmas worship will be this Wednesday, December 21st at 6:30 over at the Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. Mm-hmm. Beth, if people want to know more about that, do you have a Facebook page or anything?
We do have a Facebook page, Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church. You can find us online at wrmoravian.org. You can give us a call. All of our information is there. And if you're interested in seeing a few of our past services, we do have a YouTube channel. So you can go to YouTube, type in Wisconsin Rapids Moravian Church, and several of our past services will be there, and that's where you would go to see a live stream version of this service.
We'll be reminding our audience about that leading up to Wednesday. And appreciate that,
Thank
Beth,
you.
Very much. Also, one more good story of the day for you, everybody. My daughter Bria and I are going to be celebrating the second night of Hanukkah together today.
Oh, wonderful.
And I finally get to give her Hanukkah gift. I got to tell her yesterday. I got her a menorah. And I finally got that off my chest. I don't have to hide it anymore. I can finally say something. Yes. And I did it, you guys. I did it. I didn't spoil it. I didn't spoil it beforehand. I held on to it all this time.
Nicely done.
Thank you, Meg. Really, you two are the good story of the day. We appreciate you both. Thanks a lot for hanging out with us. Beth, Melissa, you guys have a great morning.
Thank you.
Thanks,
you too, James.
We'll be back with more Morning Show tomorrow. Stick around for Playmakers coming up right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.